What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at thepeterplank.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at thepeterplank, at @JYarko_Bucks, and at @DH82_Bucks. You all know what we're about to talk about. Adam Schefter of ESPN has reported that the NFL is likely going to suspend our beloved quarterback Jameis Winston for the first three games of the NFL season. And of course, those first three games, I read somewhere, is the toughest three game stretch in like the Super Bowl era. They're facing the New Orleans Saints, the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles, and on Monday Night Football, the Pittsburgh Steelers, all without Jameis Winston, if these reports come true. Now, before we really take a deep dive into this, have some audio courtesy of the NFL Network Total Access, and NFL insider Mike Garofalo spoke about the Winston case and what he's hearing, kind of how the investigation went and things like that. So I'm going to play that for you, and then David will jump on with his immediate reaction.
Now, multiple reports stating that the NFL is planning to suspend Jameis Winston three games for an alleged incident that occurred in March of 2016 with the driver of a rideshare service who accused Winston of assaulting her. That is an accusation that the NFL takes very seriously, and they have conducted a comprehensive review. What I am told, based on sources familiar with the findings of that review, is that no final decision has been made, but the expectation, according to those sources who have spoken to me and Ian Rappaport, is that there will be a multiple game suspension to start the season. There may also be conditions involved here that, if Winston does not meet, could extend the suspension beyond several games. Ezekiel Elliott, he met that six-game threshold that the NFL established a couple of years ago from Ray Rice. Sounds like Winston could be below that. Now, you remember Ronald Darby, Winston's former teammate at Florida State. He came out in defense and said he was in the car with Winston and said there was no incident. I am told that based on the findings of the NFL's investigation, that Darby was not there for the entire length of the trip, that there were multiple legs of the trip. And I am also told one more thing, that there was a comprehensive review of electronic communication here that the NFL did. So they obviously found something that they do not believe was appropriate and could lead to a suspension in the coming days.
All right, that was Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network. And David, we're gonna have you go ahead and jump on, and I'll let you kind of lead this off with your thoughts before I begin to dive into mine.
So when it first came across and started coming across on Twitter and then on TVs everywhere that Jameis Winston was likely gonna be suspended for three games, I had the same reaction pretty much everybody had, it seems, which was a little bit dumbfounded because, you know, we don't really know what the investigation is on Earth right now. And we talked about this last time. We talked about the suspension topic and the thoughts of maybe it's one game, maybe it's, you know, two or three. It doesn't seem like it's going to be, you know, as big as Ezekiel Elliott, but it's going to be something. We don't know right now what the NFL has, and that's kind of what Mike was alluding to there. He let us know a little bit more than we already know. Like, I didn't know, you know, until listening to that segment that Darby wasn't there with Jameis the entire ride, and that there were multiple segments of this Uber ride. I don't know if that's a normal thing or not. Like, I don't really Uber all that often. My first Uber ride ever just happened like 4 months ago, so I'm not an Uber expert whatsoever in the use of it or its policies or anything like that. So I don't know if having multiple, you know, quote unquote legs of a trip with people is a normal event or if that's, you know, unique to the situation. But my reaction and a lot of our reactions, you know, we're all entitled to them, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to cast any shade on anybody's reactions, but all of us are reacting off of little to no information. I've been reading a lot of guys on Twitter. I've been reading a lot of fan reactions, a lot of, you know, people that we know. You know, Phil Schwegler is on there. You know, I read Trevor Sikkema's his write-up on the whole thing. I think Greg Allman's been tweeting a little bit. Rick has obviously been tweeting for most of the day some stuff about this stuff. And some very good points have been made. You know, we don't know everything. The NFL hasn't unveiled what they know, what they found in the investigation. I don't know that they'll ever unveil everything they found. They'll unveil what they believe they need to or what they want to, you know. Obviously, whatever these conditions are going to kind of go into a little bit of what they know, or we'll give away a little bit of what they know, depending on what those are. But at the end of the day, my reaction, what I came to realize is that my reaction right now with what three games kind of sounds like a bit much, is based off of what I know. And what I know right now is that the driver's accusing Jameis Winston of grabbing her inappropriately. Jameis Winston is saying he didn't do this. Ronald Darby came out and said that he was with him and nothing happened. There's no video. You have some text information. At some point in time, it was put out that she didn't even know who the players were in the car, that she had to be told later, which, you know, kind of goes into the whole how reliable of a witness or a complainant are you if you don't even know who it is you're accusing. But again, now there's even a little bit more of information being leaked out, which is the whole that Ronald Darby wasn't there the whole time. Well, if Ronald Darby wasn't there the whole trip, his defense of Jameis Winston now holds less water, you know. That's just being objective about it. I want Jameis Winston to be successful. I don't want him to be a bad guy. I don't want him to have done what he's accused of course, because I want my team to be successful. But this whole type of situation goes beyond the team. It goes beyond the logos. It goes into human interactions. And if it's possible that he did this, and if the NFL has found that he did do this, then he definitely deserves a suspension. So right now, my later reaction, right, my more, I guess, educated reaction, is to just wait. I'm just going to wait until tomorrow or next week or whenever the NFL decides to unveil everything they had and we find out as much as we're going to find out before I make any type of personal decision on how I feel about what the NFL does or is doing and how that makes me feel moving forward with Jameis Winston, you know, representing the team that I cheer every Sunday and Monday night and so on. That's kind of where I'm at now.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of argue with that point, because like you said, at this moment in time, we're operating with less than little to no information. I wouldn't say we have no information, but we have a microscopic amount of information. We all knew that this was a possibility. So to be up in arms and furious about it happening is silly at this point. We've known about this since last season. We knew a suspension was possible. The question was, how many games? What's hitting people, you know, with the emotion right now is that it's the first three games of the season, which are the most difficult of the season. So a lot of fans are upset at the fact that not only did Jameis put himself in this situation to be punished, but that he's going to miss a very crucial beginning to a very crucial season. And I know that's kind of it's almost a selfish way to approach this whole situation, because what I'm not going to do, and David, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm assuming it's not something you're going to do either. We're not going to, you know, victim blame or shame the accuser or anything like that, because we don't know what happened. Nobody knows for sure what happened except for the people that were in that car. So Right. What we can do is we can react to the information that we have. And the information that we have right now is that Jameis Winston was accused of doing something. He denies doing it. The NFL has investigated. They feel that there was enough information in their hands to say that he violated the personal conduct policy. Now, that's not to say that he was guilty of what was done. You know, the personal conduct policy, we've heard Roger Goodell talk about it. We hold our players to a higher standard than the law. You don't have to be found guilty of anything to be suspended. What you're doing is you're taking your name, you're taking the franchise that employs you, and you're taking the overall company, the shield, as they call it, and dragging it through the mud, and you're going to be punished for that. So, yes, it absolutely sucks that he's going to be suspended for these three games. Is he going to appeal? I don't know. From what Rick Stroud was saying on Twitter, it doesn't sound like he's going to appeal. It sounds like he's going to take the punishment that's handed to him and just be done with it. The Buccaneers can now head into training camp and prepare accordingly. You know, Fitzpatrick is going to get a lot of first team snaps. He's going to get a lot of first team reps in the preseason. That only makes sense. You have to go out and face the defending division champions, the defending Super Bowl champions, and the basically the class of the NFL for the last four decades. That's what you're up against. You have to prepare accordingly. They now know before the month of July exactly what they're facing. So more information will continue to come out, and it may not be these three games. It may be two games. It may be five games. We don't know. The number we're hearing right now is three. That seems like a pretty safe bet. But at the end of the day, this is on Jameis. And before I get into that, we are going to give a big shout out to friends of the show and sponsor Blue Chew. Guys, remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code locked on to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Bucks. Big shout out to Blue Chew. They've been a great partner with us for the past couple of weeks, and excited to see that relationship continue on. But back to the topic at hand. At the end of the day, David, and I'd like to get your take on this. This whole situation, people want to blame Goodell, they want to blame the accuser, they want to blame whoever they want. At the end of the day, this is 100% on Jameis. And I love Jameis, I do. I think he's exactly the kind of quarterback this team needed. You know, I love his energy, I love his childhood-like approach to the game. I'm a fan of his. But you keep going back to, why do we have to keep defending this guy? Like, he keeps putting himself in these stupid situations that we have to then defend. And, you know, perception is reality. I said this to someone on Twitter earlier when he brought up the Florida State accusations, and I said, you know, we don't know. I said I don't have the time and energy to get into the whole Florida State allegations, all that. I was like, I don't have it in me today. But perception is reality. And the perception of Jameis Winston from the casual viewer, the NFL fan from 31 other teams, is that Jameis Winston is not a good person. Now, we know that's not the case, but he keeps doing this just stupid stuff to put himself in these situations. Now, we are, again, talking about an incident that happened over 2 years ago. Okay, we are now talking about a man who is 24 years old, engaged to be married, has a child on the way. You know, there is going to be some maturing and some waking up over that span of time. But when you go back and you look at some of the stupid stuff that he's done, it's got to stop. At some point, it has to stop. And maybe it has. You know, maybe this Uber investigation and this incident was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for Jameis, where it was that final wake up call of like, all right, I need to get this straightened out, because I am the face of a multi-billion dollar franchise. I am the face of a team that plays for a multi-billion dollar sports foundation, of a sports league. I am going to cost myself millions and millions of dollars if I continue down this road. I am going to lose the trust of the front office. I'm going to lose the trust of my coaches. I'm going to lose the trust of my teammates if I don't straighten this out. I have a family to worry about. I have a child I'm going to have to care for. I have a beautiful woman at home that I want to marry and I want to spend the rest of my life with. You know, at some point, all this stuff has to slap him in the face. And maybe it has. We don't know. That's yet to be determined. I remember us talking about how, you know, Mike Evans was, you know, he had his outbursts and his temper tantrums and kind of the immaturity was there. And he has a child. And we kind of saw a little bit of that maturity last year. He wasn't as explosive with his attitude or his frustrations. You know, it kind of humbled him a little bit. Maybe that's going to happen with Jameis. I hope so, because he has all the talent in the world, but he keeps putting himself in these situations. And I hate to say it, but he's putting himself in these situations around the same people over and over and over. One of the key witnesses in the Florida State allegations was Ronald Darby. Then to turn around and be accused of something similar, not the same, but similar in that same realm. And again, Ronald Darby is there. At some point, you have to look at yourself and say, I have to worry about me. I have to worry about my wife, my child, my teammates, you know, my parents, my little brother. I got to cut ties with these people. So, yeah, we can be mad at the accuser for bringing it up. We can be mad at Roger Goodell for suspending him. But at the end of the day, if Jameis Winston can't use this to finally straighten himself out and stop putting himself in these predicaments that make him look bad, make the organization look bad, make the Glazers and Jason Light look bad, he's not going to be here anymore. And it may end up costing Jason Light his job, because Jason Light, you tie yourself to a number one draft pick quarterback and it doesn't pan out. That's not a good look for you. You know, people's livelihoods are on the line and they're tied to Jameis Winston. He has to realize that. He has to step up his level of maturity and stop doing stuff like this so that we don't have to talk about it anymore and it doesn't hurt the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think it basically just boils down to Jameis Winston and his level of situational awareness. Young guys are young guys, you know, and it's not an excuse, but at, like you said, at a certain point, every young person has to either get to a point where they understand the rules and expectations that come with what they're trying to accomplish, or they're going to be left behind and not be able to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. You know, going back to his college days and all that. I don't know, when you draft a college player, you have to essentially at least come to the point where you accept, even if you don't necessarily agree with it, obviously, what their past is bringing to the table. Because if you don't believe that that person is the person that could be salvaged, then you shouldn't be drafting them in the first place. So when the Buccaneers drafted him, they basically said everything, you know, with the incidents in college is something that they either believe is in the past, was false allegations, you know, not totally true, whatever settlement they came to within themselves to accept the things that happened before, they accepted them. And so you can't, as a franchise, you can't, you know, then go back later and say, oh, well, now we're going to, you know, now we're also going to throw that in your face. And I don't think that's what they're doing. But like you said, I mean, and Jameis just has to get to the point where he understands how impactful his actions are. And there's not a lot of guys his age in his position, but that's, you know, that's part of the reason they get paid the money they do. If it wasn't for all the attention these guys get, there wouldn't be the brands that are attached to them. There wouldn't be the sponsorships that are attached to them, their leagues, their stadiums, their uniforms. You know, their the commercial spots, you know, all the people who pay them for campaigns and so on and so forth, which all bleed into the money that these players are getting paid. And that's part of the territory. You know, I know a lot of football players, Antonio Brown's been kind of vocal about it recently, don't like the media coverage and don't like the cameras in their face and don't like all the questions and all that stuff. But that's how you're getting paid, man. Like if nobody wants to see you on TV and nobody wants to put a camera in your face and nobody wants to know what you're doing and nobody wants to hear your voice and all this, you're not getting the money that you're getting. That's just, you know, the bottom line. And I know that they go over this stuff in the rookie symposium, you know, but I mean, I remember being in my younger 20s. I deal with people in their younger mid 20s, you know, even their late teens right now in my day-to-day job. And I try to get through to them just like people try to get through to me. And I listen to some people more than I listen to other people. And some people listen to me more than they listen to others. And, you know, the vicious, it just, it's every generation. Every generation's got players who get it and they get with the program very quickly, and they can be successful, you know. But then every generation also has guys who struggle but eventually find their way. And then every generation has guys who just never get the picture, you know. Josh Gordon, like, right now, he's still a dude who hasn't gotten the picture. Until he can go through a whole season without having any incidents, in my mind, he's going to be a guy who just hasn't gotten with the program yet. And but he has the opportunity still to become a guy who just took a little while to get with the program. And James is in the same boat. And you're right, he might already be getting with the program. We don't know right now. I mean, it's March 2016 to, you know, we're past March 2018, so we're 2 full years removed from this allegation and all that. But I don't know. It's kind of like having a, you know, like an addiction. Like if you have a gambling addiction, you're never cured. You're just, you know, what do they say? I don't know what I'm saying. I'm not a gambler, but there's a saying, right? I'm not cured. I'm just a recovering gambler or whatever they say. That's what he's going to have to deal with. His entire career is going to be tied to these early allegations. And anytime he does something, whether it's intentional or not, like the thing that happened to the school a while back, you know, with telling the girls to be quiet and sit down and be meek and all that stuff. There is 0% of me that believes that he intended to tell these children that they were females and therefore they were lesser than men. I don't believe for a second that's what he was trying to do. That was his intention. But it doesn't matter. It's part of the maturation process, is understanding who you are, what your words mean, what perception is going to be taken out there for you, and just understanding that at the end of the day, like, drama sells more than good news stories. That's why, you know, camps, like the camps that these guys all do, like Jameis Winston just had a camp himself. It doesn't get the press that these allegations get. You know, Mike Evans does his stuff. Gerald McCoy does his stuff. I mean, even, what is the thing they do? The cleats for a cause, cause for a cleats.
My cleats. That's what it is.
There you go. That's a great event, but it doesn't get the coverage, even by the NFL themselves, you know, excuse me, doesn't cover it the way that they cover drama. And that's, maybe it's a sad narrative on our society, but we're not going to get into that. That's the environment you live in. That's the environment we all live in. And if you have any type of public persona, that's something you've got to deal with. Now, as far as his appeal is concerned, honestly, it all kind of ties back together. Like Ezekiel Elliott going through the appeals process, you know, part of me, and we discussed this a little bit back then too, like, part of me was saying, okay, if you're appealing in today's NFL as a player for suspension or a fine or whatever, you're not appealing to prove to people that you're right or wrong, because people in today's world have already made up their mind. Like, mm-hmm. There are people in the world who pay attention to football who believe Jameis Winston is guilty. Like, they believe he did exactly what he's being alleged to have done, with zero evidence being publicly presented as of right now. Like, they already believe he did it. Like, without a shadow of a doubt, they believe this. And there are people who absolutely believe he didn't do it. And that the accuser is probably just out for money, and the lawyer's out for money, and, you know, so on and so forth. And there's guys like you and I seem to be where we're kind of like, well, here's kind of how we feel, but we're going to wait to see more, and then we'll make our final decision when we have all the information. But you are who you are. So, if you're appealing, you're not appealing to convince people that you're correct, because not for nothing, but some of those collegiate things, they were explained. They were things happened to make them kind of go away. And either you believe that they went away because Jameis Winston was innocent, or you believe that they went away because there's some big conspiracy and money was involved, and people were paid off, and hush money was handed out, and yada yada yada, and Jameis Winston is guilty no matter what. And then there's guys in the middle who are kind of like, well, look, this is all I know. This is what I'm being told. So that's all I can use to make a judgment. So there's what it is. So if he appeals, he's not appealing to prove to all these people that they're wrong, because it's not going to happen. He's appealing for one reason or another. And the only reason I can really think of, Adam Schefter kind of talked about this, would be financial. Not at the end of the day, these guys are doing this to support their families, and every game he misses is money out of his pocket, money off his family's table, you know, so on and so forth. He's not losing all that much money this year. I don't know the exact numbers, but he's not losing all that much money this year because he's still playing this year on his rookie deal. And that's the reason, honestly, right there, that I don't think he should appeal, really, no matter what. I mean, even if it's six games, honestly, I don't think Jameis Winston gains anything from appealing, even if, say, when he went from six to four games. What Jameis Winston needs to do, if he's gotten with the program, right, quote unquote, and he's learned what his actions do and how they're going to be perceived and how he needs to be a steward of his franchise and a steward of his profession and all that stuff, he needs to let that start to build, let that credit start to build. And that's only going to start building once he's no longer associated with drama. And the more he appeals this, or the longer he appeals this, the longer his name is going to be associated with this drama, the longer his name is going to be put in these reports, the longer these allegations are going to come back up and be refreshed in the public mind, and he can't move away from the drama. So at some point, the Jameis Winston drama is going to end, kind of like the Johnny Manziel drama. Like, the Johnny Manziel drama ended as soon as he got released from a National Football franchise, a National Football League franchise, and no other franchise would sign him. Guess what? Johnny Football's drama just ended right there, and it wasn't under his conditions. Jameis Winston, in this situation, has the opportunity to have his own drama end under his own terms, which, in my opinion, based off of the finances and what he's dealing with, should be, I'm taking my medicine for the next 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 week, 6 weeks, whatever it is, we're going to continue talking about this. Because every week, especially when the Bucs lose, it's going to be, what if Jameis Winston wasn't suspended? What if Jameis Winston hadn't done this? What if Jameis Winston hadn't done that? But once that suspension is over, now we can move forward. And as long as from, I don't know, what would week six be? Like mid-October? Late October? So basically as long as like end of October, early November, whenever it is that he comes back on the field, moving forward, none of this other crap happens again, this will become part of his past. And he has control of that. But if he can't take control of that and he lets another situation, whether he did something bad, put himself in a bad situation, unintentionally had something that had negative effects on his franchise or himself, whatever it is, not losing grip of his situational awareness, then it's going to come all back up again. And eventually it's going to get to the point where he's no longer going to have the control to make this time the last time.
Yeah, to go back to your financial point, Schefter had tweeted out that serving the three-game suspension, Winston's going to lose $124,000 in base salary. His base salary this year is $705,000. If he appeals and it gets delayed like Tom Brady's did and he serves the suspension next year, you're talking about losing three games worth of pay at a salary of $20.9 million.
So financially, it doesn't make sense. And then again, the faster he can move himself away from his past, because right now that's in his past, right? March 2016 is his past. It's his recent past, but it's still his past. The faster he can get away from his past and show everybody, hopefully, that he has moved on. I mean, like you said, he's engaged to be married. He's having a child. Like, I mean, I only know his fiance off of Hard Knocks. Like, I don't know her personally, but she didn't seem like a stupid person. So I believe that she believes she's marrying a person who has good, you know, roots in them or is a good person in general. So he just needs to be able to show the rest of the world that by, again, really it just boils down to situational awareness, understanding that you are Jameis Winston 24/7. Like, you're not, he doesn't have the privilege of having a job that some people have where you can be like, I don't know, I'm going to use Walmart. Like, you represent Walmart while you're on the clock. As soon as you punch out and take off your Walmart name tag or shirt or vest or whatever you wear, you're now your own person. Well, Jameis Winston doesn't have that benefit. Jameis Winston is a Buccaneer 24/7. He is a representative of the National Football League 24/7. He is a nationally known star, personality, celebrity 24/7. And he's got to learn how to live his life within that, or he's going to lose it.
All right. Well, David, we are way over on time, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. But we will be back for another weekend episode. David and I will be recording again tomorrow night. Well, tonight, as you're listening to this. And we'll talk more about the implications that this pending suspension could have on the Buccaneer season. If you have any comments or questions that you'd like included in the show, make sure that you're sending them to us at Locked On Bucs or at the Pewter Plank in the direct messages, and we will make sure to address as many of those as possible. Until then, make sure you're checking out everything that we're doing over at thepewterplank.com, and make sure that you're following along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at the Pewter Plank, at JYarko underscore Bucs, and at DH82 underscore Bucs. We'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us right here at Locked On Bucs.